Let's ask God's help. Father, I thank you for every person that you've brought here today. We recognize that as we open the Word of God, the Spirit of God speaks to us individually and in an appropriate way. And this is not something that we can manufacture, but is always there when your Spirit is working. So we pray for your Spirit to reveal the Word of God to us in that personal way that we need today. And Lord, I pray that there would be healing. I pray that the Word of God would be an ointment to any hurting soul today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amy Carmichael was born in 1867 to a wealthy North Island family. Before she died, she had written 35 books and had lived in India for 55 years. She became one of the most loved missionaries of all time. She was humble, she was truly sweet, and she was genuine. Other missionaries wrote of the beauty of her character, saying, "The most Christ-like person I have ever met." And again, "The most fragrant, the most joyfully sacrificial person that I have ever known." They're pretty high recommendations. How did she get there? Well, in her life, the Lord was first. She loved him with all of her heart. And the Lord, in his love for Amy, allowed her plenty hardship. You see, trial forges character. He allowed plenty of hardship in her life. Let me just tell you some of her early trials. Her father died when she was 18 years old, and he left a huge debt, and because Amy was the oldest in the family, she was responsible for that. She served in a city mission church to the dropouts of society, so everyone she ministered to was a challenge, and that kept her close to the Lord. She was tender for Christ's call, and when she read the words in the scripture, go and make disciples of men, she took that to her heart, and she heard that word as to herself. But there were those in her life who didn't want her to go, and they pleaded for her not to go. Can you see how that would break you apart? Wanting to follow Christ and go where he wanted, and yet others pleading for you to stay. Well, in Japan, she found the Japanese language impossible and the missionary squabbling. She wrote, "We are here just what we are at home, not one bit better, and the devil is awfully busy." Note that. We'll come back to that later on. The devil is awfully busy. There are missionary shipwrecks of once fair vessels. She understood the spiritual warfare that was going on around about her, and it was that spiritual warfare that led to the difficulties and hardships in her life. But those early hardships were very small to what she was going to deal with in the future. Brothers and sisters, it's helpful to realize that the very best of Christians go through terribly hard trials. In fact, they are the very best of Christians because they have been through those hard times. Trials forge character. The Christian life is spiritual warfare. We'll say more on that, but know, brother and sister, that you are in a war. Sometimes so dreadful is that war, so dark is the valley, that it feels like that God has turned his back on you, that he doesn't care about you anymore, that he's looking the other way. But that feeling is not the reality. It is at times like that we need to know the love of Christ for us. We need to know that Christ will love us always and to never doubt his love for us. It is my agenda today that we might know Christ's love for us, its width and length and depth and height, to experience that love which is past words to explain, that we may be filled, as Paul says in the scripture, with the fullness of God. Oh, that you may know that Christ will always love you, brother and sister. If you are his, he loves you always. For that is the second, that Christ will love you always, is the second great pinnacle of truth in Romans 8, 31 to 39. That it's a great pinnacle of truth to lift us up from the darkest of valleys. Last time we said, if you will but believe that God is for you and nothing, no one can oppose God's plan in your life, if you will but believe that, then you will rise up with wings as eagles, you will run and not be weary, you will walk and not faint. Today we are saying, if you believe that nothing and no one can separate you from God's love, again you will be able to ride the thermals. You'll be able to rise above your circumstances. Oh, that you may know God's love. These are two climactic truths, two great pinnacles of truth there in Romans 8 that gives the believer security. Security plus. Who can oppose the plan of Christ in your life? Who can oppose the plan of Christ in your life? And who can separate us from the love of Christ? So then, in Romans chapter 8 and verses 35 to 39, I see two reasons that we may enjoy, that we may know, that we may experience Christ's love for us, even in the warfare of Christian living, even when the circumstances get most difficult. And the first reason to know, to enjoy the enormous love of Christ for you is He has kept you through the war. He has already kept you through the war. Paul is writing to Christians when he says in verse 35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Circle that word "us." Paul is writing to Christians in Rome and he says, you Christians, you will never be separated from Christ's love. Christ will love you always, you Christians. You may stop loving Him for a time, but He will never stop loving you. The first thing that we ought to know about Christ's love for His people is that it is a faithful love. It never fails. If a man can say to a woman, I will love you for the rest of my life and be able to fulfill that kind of promise, then how much more will Christ, who is entirely faithful, be able to fulfill that promise to you that He will never stop loving you? Chapter 8 and verse 35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? When God allows tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, is that love? Is it love from God to allow those things? Well, Paul's point in this passage is that the worst circumstances of life, the darkest valleys of life, the worst of spiritual warfare against us does not separate you from God's love. God continues to go through those times with you. He weeps with those that weep. And He will use those circumstances in His life eventually for your blessing and for His glory. God continues to love you through these things, though He has allowed them. Christians may be shaken by trials, but God's love is so sure that God will bring every single Christian through those trials always, always, through and out the other side every time. Now, trials can sort out the sheep from the goats. Jesus Himself told a parable about a sower who went out to sow, and the sower was sowing broadcast. And as he sowed the seed broadcast, the seed fell on four different types of soil. Jesus said in Matthew 13 and verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one, this is Satan, comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. He might say, that's rubbish that you're listening to, but in some way he snatches away what was sown in that person's heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. Now, a second type of soil that the word falls on. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now this man, the second man, responded with joy at the preaching of the gospel. He appeared to be a Christian. He received the word with joy, but when problems come, you can't find him for the dust. He is gone. He was never Christ's, but he made an emotional response to the message. So tribulation and persecution, to use Christ's words, and Paul uses exactly the same words in Romans. So tribulation and persecution do sort out real Christians from those who are merely professing or saying that they are Christians. Like many missionaries, Amy Carmichael's first term was tough. Most of the biographies about her say that she left Japan because of medical reasons. But the truth was she was emotionally exhausted. She was drained. There was nothing left of her. She sailed from Japan for rest and change, and she never went back. God had a hold of Amy during that time when there was nothing left of Amy to hang on to him. God never stopped loving Amy, and he brought her through. She later wrote, God is the God of the wave and billows, and they are still his when they come over us. Again and again we have proved the overwhelming thing does not overwhelm. She says, the overwhelming thing, the thing that you would think that would bring us down, the overwhelming thing does not overwhelm. Why? Because God's love holds us through those billows and through those waves. She wrote, he has never failed you yet, never will he his love forget. Please think. You have been through some dreadful trials that shook your faith, haven't you? It's just normal Christian life. So many of us have been through tough times like that. But you're still here. You're still here this morning. How was it that you went through such a thing and that you still come to worship? Because his love held you during that time. Even when you couldn't feel it, when you couldn't see him, your prayers seemed to be getting no higher than the ceiling, yet he was holding you. And yet he was bringing you through. And the fact that he has brought you through shows you how much God loves you, and he'll help you through the trials of life. The love of Christ for you, Christian, is faithful. He will never let you go. Brother and sister, he will love you always. Sure, Jesus taught there are those that are not his who will fall away. They might appear to be his, but they will fall away during times of trial. But he holds you, and he helps you, and he continues to love you. Yes, we can enjoy the length and the width and the height and the depth of Christ's love for us because, number one, he has kept you through the war. And number two, he has transformed you by the war. He keeps you through those waves and those billows. And he will transform you. He'll even use those lousy circumstances to transform you. Trials forge character. Trials weed out false Christians, but they also strengthen genuine Christians. Remember the context. Verse 31 of chapter 8 follows verses 28 through 30. Paul says in those verses that God uses all things, yes, even the worst things, the worst evil in life, to make us like his son. That is God's good intention. And because he loves us, he brings that to pass. By the war of life, God transforms us into the likeness of his son. Trials forge character. Like we said last time, when Satan or the world throws mud at us, in other words, I'm using mud as a picture there as throwing their worst at us, that mud falls at our feet as gold, the gold of transformed character. With that guarantee, that no matter what Satan or the world tries to do, does to it, that God will transform it to gold. With that guarantee, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. God's use of tragedy to change us is proof that he loves us. He's brought us through. That proves he loves us. And he changes us. That proves he loves us. So never feel that he loves you no more. Never think that you are forgotten by God. Never think that you are worth nothing to him. You are precious to him. And the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life to purchase you. Here, brother and sister, is the truth. Let me read verse 35 again. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? And then he picks on persecution in verse 36 and he says, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, all those things in verse 35, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In those verses, I see eight categories of life difficulties. Every problem that life can throw at a man or woman, or has thrown at a woman, and even more, some that we haven't, any of us, experienced yet. In every one of these situations, the mud falls at our feet as the gold of transformed character. We are, to use the Greek term there, and you understand the New Testament was originally written in Greek, to use the Greek term, we are hyper conquerors. We are more than conquerors, over and above mere winners in life. So here's the list of life difficulties that cannot separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Firstly, difficulties of any kind. That should just about cover it from the start. Both the words tribulation and distress refer to difficulties of any kind. Verse 35 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress?" The word tribulation, which is phlipsis in Greek, refers to a situation of pressure or stress. The word tribulation comes from the word tribulum. Now, there's a picture of a tribulum there in your bulletin. It's a kind of a sled that was used for threshing the grain, separating the grain from the husk. And a man is standing there on the sled, and there's a picture of the underside. The sled is impregnated with stones. So if you're a grain and you are being purified by the tribulum, it is a pretty rough experience. And that is the picture that is used here of tribulation. These are crushing, these are tearing experiences in life. Distress is similar. Distress refers to a narrow place. You know how people talk about being between a rock and a hard place. That's the idea of distress. There's nowhere to turn. The options have run out. And we've all been crushed, or we've all been hemmed in by the circumstances of life at some time. Tribulation and distress would include such things as illness, financial reversals, loss of reputation, maybe someone has slandered us, loss of job, grief, someone we love dearly is gone, diagnosis of cancer, rape, theft, where you feel violated, sexual abuse, a serious motor vehicle accident, family breakup, and just about any other difficulty in life that you can think of. These do not separate us from the love of God. He continues to love us, though the world throw its worst at us. The second area of life difficulties, and I'll just mention it briefly now because I'm going to come back to it, is persecution. Verse 35 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution?" Persecution is that particular life difficulty where we're hurt simply because we're a Christian. It can vary from ridicule to a lifetime in prison and much worse. The third area of life difficulty is destitution. We read in verse 35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness?" Both those words, famine and nakedness, refer to destitution. Famine is when you have nothing to eat. Nakedness is when you have nothing to put on. Probably most of us have never experienced starvation or cold in this present culture. But most people around the world do, and most people of most centuries do. And God even allows that to happen to his people, without food or clothing. Yet that does not separate us from God's love in Christ Jesus. The fourth area of life difficulty is danger. We're reading through verse 35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril?" And then we're going to look at "or sword" in a minute. Or peril. Danger. Peril refers to the natural disasters that are out there. Maybe floods or storms at sea. Or perils from men who are careless, reckless for life. These may be thieves or drug traffickers or people smugglers or slave traders. Those kind of people that just could care less about life. Danger. Perils are another life difficulty. And the fifth one is war. That's represented by the word sword in verse 35. War is represented by sword. Not even war can separate us from God's love. All these categories of difficulties that we've mentioned so far, those ones there in verse 35, relate to this life experience that we go through or others on planet Earth go through. But what about possibilities not experienced by any of us yet? Can these other possibilities, can they separate us from the love of Christ? Absolutely not. And so the last three categories of life difficulties refer to things that have not happened to any of us here yet. And the first of those is death. Now, none of us are yet dead, I don't think. So this hasn't happened to us yet. Let's have a look at verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Death cannot separate from God's love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In fact, death, for the Christian, death delivers us into the arms of the one we love. It does not separate us from him, but delivers us to him. Another category is future things. In verse 38 we read, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, death is future, life is those things we're going through now, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, that's the things that we have been through and are going through, nor things to come. Maybe there's something future that none of us has ever experienced. Future things are only going to be of the same kind, but even if there's some unknown future thing, unknown to any of us, that cannot separate us from Christ's love either. For example, as far as Paul was concerned, a motor vehicle accident was a future thing that he could not know about. Or electrocution was a future thing that he could not know about. Maybe there's something future that we don't know about yet. But neither can these things separate us from God's love. We're held by God's all-powerful hand. Having loved us at the cross, Jesus cannot stop loving his people. He knows the future. He is in control of the future. The future is held in his hand. And the last category is other unknown things. We've talked about maybe unknown future things. What about other unknown things? Let's read verses 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Focus on those words, nor height, nor depth. That is, nothing above us. As far as you can go in the universe, nothing above us. And nothing below us, as far as you can go in the universe, shall be able to separate us from God's love. Nowhere in the universe is there anything or anyone that can separate us from his love for us, not above nor below. So then the eight categories of life difficulties that cannot come between the believer and his Savior are difficulties of any kind, persecution, destitution, danger, war, death, future things, and other unknown things in the universe. I don't know how Paul could have written a more comprehensive list than that. Paul picks up on just one of these. Paul picks up on persecution as an example. And he quotes from the Old Testament in verse 36, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Paul there is quoting Psalm 44 and verse 22. Psalm 44 deals with God's people. And it starts out in verse 1 saying, we have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us the deeds you did in their days, in days of old. In other words, the psalmist is saying, we've heard great things about what God is able to do. But the psalmist has a problem because what he sees God doing in the present seems to be different to what he understands to be God's reputation. And so he says in verse 9 of that psalm, but you have cast us off and put us to shame. And you do not go out with our armies. You don't go out with our armies like you did with the armies of old. And so he sees that God seems to be failing them. The psalmist observes that these things are happening to them despite the fact that people are walking with God. He says in verse 18 of that psalm, our heart has not turned back, nor have our steps departed from your way. And yet we read in verse 22, the verse that Paul quoted, yet for your sake we are killed all day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And the same verse in a paraphrase says, but it is on your account that we are being killed all the time, that we are being treated like sheep to be slaughtered. In other words, it is because we belong to you that we are persecuted. It is because, Christians, we belong to Christ that we have enemies in this world. They count our lives of little worth. Kin kept his, Kin from Myanmar, kept his Christianity secret at first. But when he was 21, he went to a Christian camp. And there at the Christian camp, he learnt that one ought to be baptized as a profession of his faith and ought to be telling others what God had done for him. So Kin went back to his family after the camp. He had been the head monk in a Buddhist monastery. And so he went back to his family and he started to witness to them. But for the family, it was a shock that he should become a Christian. And so they yelled at him and they beat him. And when that still didn't change Kin's mind, they rejected him. They threw Kin out of the family. He went to Bible college and continued to witness. And while he was witnessing there, he was arrested by the police. The police were hoping for a bribe from him, but he would give no bribe, and so he was thrown into prison. Again in prison, he continued to witness for the Lord Jesus, and in prison, the prisoners beat him. But praise God, one of the police came to Christ. After release from prison, in the first 6 months after his release, 28 people in Myanmar came to Christ. And then he became a church leader. In 2009, he saw 300 to come to Christ. And in 2010, 258. That is why the next verse in the scripture says, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Paul takes the example of persecution and he uses as an example of hyper-conquering. We are more than conquerors over difficulties of any kind. We are more than conquerors over persecution. We are more than conquerors over destitution and danger and death and future things and other known things. Why? Because we are held by God's love. We're held by two all-powerful hands, the hand of the Father and the hand of the Son. And we're shaped by God's love. God uses those circumstances in all those difficulties of life because trials forge character. This is not, here in Romans 8, this is not theological theory. Paul had been through just about all of these circumstances. Referring to church leaders who were boasting about their sufferings, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labours more abundant, in stripes, that is lashes for the whip, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and day I've been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils amongst false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. All because he loved Christ and wanted to follow Christ. Indeed, God's people had suffered for centuries. This was nothing new, just because they loved God. Hebrews records that, Hebrews 11 and verse 36. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings. Yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And so Paul, writing to Timothy, and indeed says to us in 2 Timothy 3:12, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Why do Christians go through persecutions and tribulations? Because we are in a warfare. There is a spiritual war going on round about us. All that I have described so far is what we see, the trials of life that we all go through. But this passage also describes an invisible warfare that I've mentioned, but I just want to underline right now. It is the invisible spiritual warfare that drives the visible trials and persecutions. The book of Job, if you were to read the book of Job, reveals the full details for us. But Paul gives us enough clues here in this passage. Verse 35 asks the question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? But did you notice Paul answers with what? He answers, what shall separate us? Shall tribulation or distress? Paul is alluding to the answer there of who, but he says plainly in verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers. Principalities and powers refer to the demonic realms that are round about us. Nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing. There's only two things in the universe, the creator and the created. The creator is God, and he is for us. So if anyone's going to be against us, there has to be something amongst the created. He says, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want you to circle those words, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor any other created thing. That is Paul's answer to who. In verse 35, he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And he answers, not the devil, not the demons, no fallen angel, no other created thing. Nothing in God's universe can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No, Satan at his worst is not able to come between us and God. Now we see where the visible difficulties come from. Not directly from God's hand, though God uses them to forge the gold of character in our lives. Satan is that powerful, cunning enemy of God who entices us the wrong way. He does that two main ways. He tempts us to fulfill our lusts. And the other main way is that he tries to get us to blaspheme God, to shake our fist at God. Why do you let this happen to me? He tries to get us to blaspheme God by the afflictions and persecutions and so on. And yet it comes from him. The world is the satanically influenced masses of humanity. You realize everyone on planet Earth either belongs to the kingdom of light or the kingdom of darkness. Now, people mightn't know that, but they do. And that mass of people that is influenced by the kingdom of darkness tries to push us to be the same as them. It tries to push us into its mold. And they don't understand when we don't want to be the same as them. So when Satan works directly and he uses the world system of which he is prince to bring on us the difficulties, the persecutions, the destitution, the dangers, the wars, the death, the future things, and the other unknown things. Yes, Satan, and Satan working through the world, does these terrible things to us, but they fall as gold at our feet. For we are hyper-conquerors in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Jesus Christ will continue. He always loves his people. When we're in the valley, we only have to look up at these two great truths to be lifted up. Who can oppose the plan of Christ in our life? And who can separate us from the love of Christ in our life? No one. Amy Carmichael, loved by so many, was considered eccentric by others. Some would not believe about the child slavery and the temple prostitution that was part of Hinduism. As she sought to save girls from being temple prostitutes, obviously she faced tremendous opposition. No one was going to let that system slip from their hands easily. More than once she faced criminal charges of kidnapping because she got these girls away from the temples, always threatened with physical danger. She sacrificed her life for the Donover Fellowship, saving girls from prostitution, and then when they were brought into her home, saving them from the very fires of hell by telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ. She deliberately chose to remain single to do her work more effectively. Donna Verr continued to have internal and external problems, of course, because we are in a warfare. And Amy admitted to the friction at times. One time she fell, and the last 20 years of her life were spent as an invalid, but she even used that time to be writing books. She was more than a conqueror, because she knew that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. She wrote, "All the paths of the Lord are loving and faithful." Psalm 25, verse 10. Great verse, isn't it? "All the paths of the Lord are loving and faithful." She said, "I have pondered this verse lately and found that it feeds my spirit. All does not mean all except the paths I'm walking now. All does not mean nearly all except this especially difficult and painful path. All must mean all. So your path, with its unexplained sorrow or turmoil, and mine with its sharp flints and briars, and both our paths with their unexplained perplexity, their sheer mystery, they are his paths on which he will show himself loving and faithful. Nothing else, nothing less." Let's pray. Oh Lord, there's a security to know that you will continue to love us, and you do continue to love us even when it feels like you've left us. Oh, we thank you for that, Lord Jesus. And I pray, I guess here in the room, as we look at these verses that make sense, and then we come to that dark trial, that deep valley, and we wonder if you have. Oh Lord, I pray there be such a sense of security amongst your people that each one of us would know whatever we face in life, that we can look up and see your love still shining upon us. You will bring us through, and you'll turn the mud to the gold of character at our feet. Praise God. We are hyper conquerors in Christ Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.